Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Hey, Power Movers, how are you? Welcome to you wherever you are in the world. And I'm here today with Michael Elliott. What an inspiring guy, right? He's been there, he's done that. Yeah, he's got the scars and he's got the t-shirt. Mike is dealing with AI and he's dealing with a whole range of different things. But more importantly, he's dealing with life and living the life he loves, trying to get that sense of business owner freedom. Right. And what he was doing before wasn't resonating. And now he's just in flow, as they say. And he's doing all sorts of things. Mike, welcome to Power Movers. Thank you for joining me.
No, thank you. Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you for the intro. I think it was a great summary, but basically of where I am. And I think that the audience will resonate with quite a lot of the points in every angle, from pain, discipline, struggle, disappointment, defeat, and how you bounce back and how you continue to stay in that flow no matter what happens.
Yeah. So let's go back. Just give us a very short review of your history, because most business owners start somewhere. Very few of us just go straight into business and make millions, right? Yeah. Most of us go and do something else first and realize, quite frankly, we're unemployable. Right? And then we move on. And it takes a while to understand that. So where did you start?
So I graduated from university. I had heartbreak at 18, molded me into a put me in a dark place, but then molded me into somebody who was quite cold, not cold-hearted, but had that cold streak in them, that ruthlessness, I guess you would say, in business that you need. That's been planted in me by my experiences in my life. When I was younger, I nearly lost my dad, my brother, and my nephew, all in the space of 6 months, through a heart attack, a motorbike accident, and an open heart surgery. So I had all of that pain building up to it. But I wish there was a fairy tale story about how I discovered my niche, which that's the only part that there isn't, obviously, an explanation for. But there was jobs in my area. PPC took my eye. I saw that the PPC exec role was there. I applied. There's actually a story. Like, I had a job interview 2 days before somewhere else, but it never snows where I lived. And on that day, there was snow. I couldn't get out of the hill. I was late to the interview. Obviously, you don't get the job. Went to the PPC exec one, nailed the interview, got the job, and that put me into the digital marketing sphere. And that's how I became a PPC executive, literally from the ground up, managing ad accounts, setting up tracking, like smaller accounts initially. And as I grew in that role and started to get a little bit of disdain for certain things inside the company, just things weren't rubbing right with me, and you realize that the funnel's very top heavy, which is something that people really need to understand. Like, when you're getting paid your salary, you better believe that the one up the chain, your manager, not his manager, or probably his manager, it's the guy above him who owns the company that's making the dough. And I don't care what your bonus is, how much you get, whether you've got a car allowance, all of it is complete nonsense. And that's why I say complete nonsense. You have to learn your trade. But what I'm saying is you have to understand that eventually you have to become the guy who sits in the boat and rows, but has a team that rows with him and ultimately scales. So that's, I ended up getting basically fed up and I launched, I left. I had a 3-month-old, I don't know, 4-month-old baby. I quit the job straight after, just literally at the end of COVID, like the lockdown of COVID and et cetera. And I went all in with $3,000 in the account. I went all in. I had nothing else. Like, that's all I had.
And that's the thing, right? When you hit rock bottom, and I say rock bottom because, it feels like that. When you hit rock bottom.
It was rock bottom for me. Yeah. It was.
Yeah, the same. I was making 150 grand a year. Yeah, and when you make that amount of money working for someone and you're totally stressed out all the time, yeah, there comes a point where you're just spending it somehow. I don't know where. I don't know. Yeah, I've gone. I
I've
had
got one for you. Sorry to cut you off, Roy. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I've got one for you just in comparison to that. I was on 30,000 Brit 35,000 British pounds a year, and I was closing deals every week at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7K a month in retainers.
Wow.
And that's what obviously what opened my eyes, what you were saying there. Like, I wasn't even on a good salary, never mind about being on a good
Yeah.
salary and doing it. I was just lucky if
Making
I could take my
making somebody
missus
else
out.
money.
Yeah, if I could go on holiday once a year, that was lucky to me. But I think it was about 6, 7 years in that position, six and a half, 7 years in that position. And in that time, I also grew as a man,
Yeah.
which is an important thing that people need to really understand. Not everybody's that guy, that kid at 18 or 17 who hits a crypto pump and makes millions. Like
Yeah.
you need the experience to go alongside it because your brain will develop. If you are under 25 and listening to this podcast, your brain will develop completely differently in the next 3 to 5 years than what it has done so far. You
Yeah.
are still a baby. And that there's people much more successful than me that are 18 years old. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, for me personally, which is what this podcast is around, I wasn't the same man at 25 as I was at 28 when I decided to jump. And
Okay.
it all happened very quickly. And the mindset that I had going into it was one that I wasn't going to be beaten.
Amazing. So you started that company, you were really going through the process of learning all those lessons, right? You've seen, you mentioned there you weren't very aligned with what the company was doing. And I love that as well. When I left because of the same type of thing, I was working computers in the city, which had been going for a long time. I was there for 7 years. I was making good money, but I was making the owner way more money. And he was just doing things that I didn't quite trust to the customers. And I was like, I don't want to work like that. I'm not going
But
to
do you
go.
know me? What it was with me is similar, but for me, and I'm not even going to name them because I wouldn't give them the publication. But for me, it was the way they treat other staff members. That's what got me. And when I realized that it was wrong, when I first joined them, think about it, at 21 or whatever, when I first joined them, I didn't know what a true professional workplace looked like. So I thought that it was the norm. And basically, the way I run every single one of my businesses is the direct opposite of how they run theirs. That's my approach.
And you can't learn, you literally cannot learn these lessons in university, right?
No, I don't believe in like I'm a ma this is controversial. Don't shoot me if you've gone to university and done well, but like I went to university and my degree's not worth the paper it's written on. Like multimedia technologies, what is that? You tell me what I'm a specialist in. I didn't learn anything. Like one project would be coding, then it would be digital marketing, then it would be, so there was an element of digital marketing, but that's one, I don't even remember what they call them, but that was like one module or two modules that it made up. The rest of it was like maybe JavaScript coding and then general computer science based stuff. So I know I'm in a computer spaced industry, but I've always been computer heavy. I know how to work a computer and a machine. I always have had from playing games when I was younger and stuff like that. I've always had that. So I didn't learn any of that at uni. And I tell my children all of the time, seriously, if you take 1 million people and cut it in half, or take 2 million people, cut it in half, and send four of them out to work in a career professionally, and send the other 1 million to university to get a degree, I guarantee you that the number that comes out on top in terms of success is as a number, not obviously everybody, but as a number is higher on the million that didn't go than the ones that did, except for any industry where it's necessary, doctors, architects, vets, these things. That's
And I mean
completely different.
that leads us into this new world we're playing in. We're playing in the world of AI now. When beforehand, 10 years ago, you had to go to university to get the knowledge because the knowledge was in the books, was in the training, it was hidden behind firewalls or pay firewalls. Now you don't have to do that anymore, right? Now we're in a space where every single bit of information is on this little device and you just have to ask it. Yeah, so we need to really work on a different way that we need to learn how to learn. Yeah, and we need to learn how to process. And we don't need to bring the information into our brain anymore. We really don't. We just need to know how to communicate with AI in the right way to get this done. So this you went through, you started your SEO business. Tell us the next stages. What came next?
What came next was, so I started the PPC agency and I'm sat there in the kitchen. I've got, let's say, an imaginary bit of paper. And I'm like, what are my options? Like, where can I get business from? I would never go after old clients from the old agency. That was a cross morally from me, not because they deserved it, but morally from me, I wouldn't do that. So that was a cross. Then it was connections. At that point, I didn't have anybody. Nobody I knew was successful. This is, and I've got a big part on that. So we make sure we cover that this in this podcast because it's really important for the listeners. But like that, so there's a big red cross there. I'm thinking, do I have any budget for lead generation? Because I know how to do that. That's my speciality. But can you, do you have the money? No. So I got into this corner and it was all you've got is your word, your skill set, and all of the online communities that are out there in this individual industry, Facebook, Reddit, LinkedIn, these places. That's all I had. And I swear down, I got to 20. You'll have to forgive me because the exact number I don't remember, but I got to somewhere between 15 and 25K a month from Facebook groups alone. I don't know what you're earning at your job now, listeners. I don't know what you're earning at your job now, but I used Facebook groups. Where PPC groups, Google Ads related groups, provided value first by giving free information away. And then I would get DMs from a small portion, but from a certain portion would respond and say, hey, can you help me with it? And at that stage, you're like, yes, of course. Now, I don't know what you do as a business, but listening to this, if your business is digital, you can go and literally hunt for business enough to cover your wage. 100 grand a year, 150 grand a year, piece of cake. Seriously, like to get to 12 grand, 10K a month, whatever, is a piece of cake. Not only that, all of the tax systems are set up to benefit you if you're a business owner. So you pay less tax. You can afford to earn less money and have the same take home than what you do when you work for somebody else, which is really important for people to know. There are a few industries, I'm not going to go into them because they're more specific. If you're a builder, for example, how are you going to generate leads for that? But do you know what? The same thing, local community-based group, the fan pages for your town, your whatever. You would be very surprised the rapport you can build by just being authentic and being there. Like it would blow your socks off. I wish I had a recording of what I did because it was, we're sat here now. I'm not going to talk numbers, but I'm sat in a very expensive suite in the heart of Manchester, one of the best that there is. And I look around like this, and this dining table is probably the same size as my bedroom was for about 15, 18 years. And I look at it all, and it's a blessing. And I try and tell as many people as I physically possibly can, either get under the wing of somebody who's going to reward you percentage-wise along the way. That's okay. You don't have to, you don't, if you don't want to take all the stress that comes with it, because believe you me, do not think this is easy because it isn't. But if you don't want the stress, but you've got somebody like people who work for me, certain people in positions, they have percentages of company revenue. So their effort directly impacts what they earn. They're happy with that. They get paid well. So they're in a good position. You can do that. But for me personally, that wouldn't work, even in that scenario. You've got a really good, there's about a year to 2 years of complete and utter grit, determination, late nights, sleepless nights, a year of that. And once you break through the barrier, the weight lifts and you realize, and then a new weight comes because it's about scaling. So I think your original question was about diversification, but I'll let you just put us back on the segue because I've been waffling a little bit.
So really, we go through this journey. I often liken it to having a kid, right? You go into this, you have a baby, first of all, the first 2 years, you hardly get any sleep, and then you grow and you're talking about growing and scaling there. And this is where the business operating system that I coach in really comes into its own, because you're in a situation. I was working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week on my IT companies. I had two IT companies at that stage. And then I was actually offered the first IT company I worked for. It was like you. I said I was never going to steal his clients. He watched what I was doing after I started my own. And then in 2017, I actually bought that company, which was pretty cool. And this whole piece, you go through this piece of, 2 years old, and then they go to teenage years, and the business does the same. But you have to be preparing your business so that it can leave the nest and it can go off and it can actually do the work. The mission that the business has needs to be the business's mission and the staff's mission. And as soon as you set it up correctly, I work 5 hours a week now in those companies, in three companies.
Yeah.
And now I can come and do what I, the next thing. As an entrepreneur, we're always changing. We're always looking for the new thing, and depending which type of entrepreneur you are. So you then went from that and you started doing some other things.
Yeah, so the PPC agency still is a success, if you like. Some good people involved with me in different ways, Chloe, me, Keith, etc. But like when you talk about the doors that Harriet and Reese as well, I have to mention them, otherwise I'd be shot. But when it comes down to the diversification, what happens is you, and I nearly made a critical error. You, when you find a vein that has gold flowing through it, you smash it until there's no more gold in it.
Yeah.
You do not look at the new fancy flashy thing and divert your attention in too many places at once.
I call that shiny shit.
Yeah, the shiny shit. Don't look at that, because that'll blind you and that will take you off path.
Yeah.
You have to suffocate it a little bit now, but it will be a superpower later, which is what we're going to talk about here. Because my PPC agency's cash flow allowed me to be able to make whatever decisions I wanted. June 2023, I had $1 million liquid. And that was like a sort of target that I had in mind about where I wanted to be. Very stupid, I know. All of you, anybody out there talking to me now, can hear you screaming compound interest, money depreciates, I know. But at the time, it was like, it was new to me. Don't forget, it was January 2021 I started. So yeah. I've made $1 million profit in 2 years. And that's coming from a 35K a month salary. So you've got to appreciate the levels. I know some of you out here might be doing 10, 20, 50 mil, 100 mil, whatever. That's fine. I'm on my own chapter, my chapter two, let's say.
Yeah.
You can be on your chapter 20. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at what my own journey, where I'm going. But I ended up being able to diversify into creating now an AI agency. But the order that it went in was that I started a caravan retail business with a friend of mine that then went into trade. So we buy and sell trade. Think of it just like scrap cars, trade cars, or cars to resell for higher values. Exactly the same thing with a static caravan or like trailer parks, maybe, as like in the US, they would probably call them. I think they're the same thing or similar. So we buy and sell those. And we have AI handle like 600 to 800 leads a month. And there's only me and one other business owner, and he's basically the sales rep. And he'll pick up the phone when they're ready to sign their contract in case there's any negotiation issues or questions about the contract. That's all he does. The rest of it is AI. And that does, I don't know, 3 mil a year, something like that. So it's lower margins than the PPC stuff, but it does 3 mil a year. So I hope that you understand the audience as I've gone through the, like what I'm talking to you about here is actually the thing that powers all of my future growth is the first seed I ever planted. That's what's allowed me to do this. And then I bought a caravan site. So now I own my own caravan site, Poppy Grove. It's a lovely site, Elliott Leisure Group. And it's a physical asset. It's where I put the money that was sat there stagnating.
So now I want to really start digging into AI, because AI is such a big field. It's so overwhelming. It's you can see the opportunity all over the place, but then there's all these scare tactics and scare words and scare things that happen around it. And we talk about automations and we talk about all these kind of things. And yet there's, I think the biggest problem, first of all, that I see is that business owners don't necessarily know what their standard operating procedures are. So, once you know what your business setup is, then you can automate and automate. And that's what your agency does, right? Yeah, just take
Right.
us a little bit through that process. You said there you're getting 600 leads with AI and just hitting the phones when they close.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll go into the speed to lead thing in a moment, but what you were just saying there, you wouldn't believe the amount of times that I get an AI inquiry and I sit down and I ask them, what's your SOP for that? And they're like, we don't have one. And then I'm like, I can't automate it then. It's simple as that. It's not a long discussion. You have to have your business. If your business fails, if you can't, if your business doesn't make sales without AI or isn't scalable without AI, then implementing AI into it when it's already broken is only going to amplify all of your problems. Like you've got to have a standard operating procedure for your onboarding, a standard operating procedure for client management, a standard operating procedure for reporting, a standard operating procedure for staff well-being, whatever it is that you have inside your company. These things, you have to have an exact route of how it goes. And if there are any times where it needs a human in the loop, we can put humans in the loop to check and sign off and click one button and let it go so that it's right. That's okay. Not everything can be automated, believe it or not. Like professional business integrity, it can't make decisions based off of gut feelings and emotional decisions. It can't do that. So there are things obviously that it really, really
I'll jump in there because that's an important part, right? I like to think one of my previous customers, was talking about AI and, he just wants to keep human in. He just needs to be, he doesn't want to be, doing AI and automation. I was like, okay. Why don't you think about it like this? AI is the bookend that you start with, and the bookend, sorry, a human is the bookend you start with, and the bookend you finish with. You need to have a human to know what you need to do, then have the AI do the processes and put the checks in the front, and then you need to have a human at the end. Because the companies that use AI successfully, that automate successfully, and that they have more human coming to the top, those are the companies that are going to do the best.
Yeah, 100%. It's like this AI replacing jobs thing is true in certain industries. If you're an admin, a data entry analyst, your job's gone. Trust me. It's not going to be around for much longer. But like you just very clearly said there, and what's important for people to understand is what you need to become is an architect in your position, like somebody who draws the painting of the picture and then how to integrate the AI tools. People think it is so easy, my friend. They look at it, they look at AI, they think AI. You've got two types of people. You've got people who look at every single new AI tool, think that it's the best thing since sliced bread, and think that it's going to make them a millionaire. You have those. And then you have the other people like, robots can't do my job. And honestly, 98% of the population either sits on one of those two sides of the coin. There's only people like me and you, like, and the listeners probably, or at least some of them anyway. Maybe you don't, maybe I'm polarizing myself by saying that, but it's true. If you think that AI isn't coming, it's not even coming, it's here. If you think AI isn't going to impact the way that businesses operate, that is it. That is, I don't want to be too blunt here, but that is foolish. Like, you have to look at what's actually happening around. When it comes down to it, though, you are 100% correct. The companies that implement AI utilize their best members of staff to get the best output from the AI consistently in an organized fashion, so that not only do they require less time to do X task, the output of X task is also improved because the AI has a brain. You don't just type in things into ChatGPT and tell it that your stomach's hurting today, what's the matter? And it tells you all these things. Like, that's not using AI, that's you talking to an LLM. When it comes to AI implementation into businesses, because I see it all the time, I see people creating ChatGPT sections and thinking that it's going to solve. No, like that's not how it works. When it comes down to the human element, the humans who embrace AI, let me say it like this. When it comes down to businesses, you could be I don't care what industry you're in, you could be the largest business in your industry right now. And if your policy was to adopt zero AI, your business would not exist in 5 years' time.
I would say even 2 years' time.
2 years, yeah. Even like even.
I just want to bring an example in here, right? So we do this podcast. So we're on a podcast now. It used to take me circa half a day to take this podcast, to put it through Descript and to adjust it, to put it through all the various tools. And all I'd be doing was posting the podcast, right? That was what I'd get out of it. I then decided, oh, I've seen all these, and I'm an IT guy, right? So I get IT. Right? I've been using
course.
AI for 2.5 years. So I decided I'm going to use NA10, I'm going to automate some of this. So I dug into that, right? It took me circa 6 weeks of going from error to error to understanding. It's that journey of mastery, right? You start out and you just don't know anything. And then slowly but surely, you learn more and more as you go up. So it took me 6 to 8 weeks to actually get my workflow working. And what happens now, we finish this podcast. I take the audio file, change the name, drop it in a folder. It goes through this entire process. So at the end of the process, it posts it onto my podcast platform for me by using the APIs. It then also creates me a YouTube description, and I put the same video through Descript to get the YouTube video out. I post that onto YouTube. I get a blog post out of the same content. I then get an original transcript, so I've got that. I then get my five different or 10 different social media posts, so I can put them out. Yeah, and it'll go through. And in that process, obviously, there's the human checks that we need to go through. But now the whole process takes me 15 minutes, which
Yeah.
just
So
the
what does that
output is
save you?
so
You
it
do
saves
the
me an
maths.
hour.
Yeah, I'm not
Well,
mental at
what it
all.
means is beforehand, I do one podcast and I might get it to launch, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks later. Now I'm doing, this is my third podcast this week. I'll do another one later on today. I've got a stack of 24 podcasts in the can on a schedule to launch. I can get my launching right. I can get my timing. I can push it out over various platforms. But to your original point, it takes a long time initially to gain that understanding, to know what you need. And before I got there, I had to know the SOP of exactly what I was doing. So I had to follow that all through. Yeah, now we're in testing phase. And so now I'm going out, I'm pushing these out. Yeah, it starts on the 1st of December. I'm literally going to be running everything on that automation. And now I can sit back and I can do something else that I enjoy. Now I can start telling my stories. Now I can be having conversations with people. Now I can be coaching people. I love the human interaction. I love sitting here with you and we're brainstorming different ideas to get your business working better. That's what I've got 35 years worth of experience doing. Right. I'm able to come in and look at it from 30,000 foot and say, well, okay, think about this. Being able to bring more human into it is this main point, right? I don't have to sit and waste 3/4 of my week. And that podcast is just one of the things I do, right? I do such a range of different things every week or every day that if I just wanted to do one channel properly, and that's what the advice always is, pick one channel, do it properly. I can never do one channel. I'll get bored. So I've got to do as many as possible. So I think to your point, it's a very, the AI architect, 100%, every company is going to need one. And AI CIO, CAIO, who is your virtual chief AI officer or your chief AI officer? If you don't think about having these things now, you're not going to be able to see in the future.
But you know what? Flip that on its head. You're bang on, 100% right. But flip that on its head, and there's never been a bigger opportunity for businesses to
For sure.
outpace. You can go at 100x the rate your competitor did. All you need to crack is your lead gen. And if you crack your lead gen and you have a solid base, even if it's just copying someone else's techniques, then you can do it. I speak a lot about it on my YouTube channel, Michael Elliott AI. I speak a lot about this. The video that actually went out today was about your circle and auditing people's access to you. Who drains you? Who fuels you? Who does that? Like this conversation, you're going to come off this. I don't want to say you'll have learned something, but for me, having a conversation with you, I think when you're speaking to other people that are entrepreneurial, just naturally, even if we're not discussing a specific business idea, you're feeling my energy through this screen, like my motivation. Like you're talking to somebody that doesn't take no for an answer. And that's something that rubs off. So in real life, guess what? I surround myself with people who operate that way. And guess what happens? Along the way, you lose some people. And that's not a slight on them, but their ceiling of their dreams and their mindset and goals, you're limiting your capacity to fit their room.
Let me jump into something else that I really am very passionate about in the business owner space, in the entrepreneur space. It's actually loneliness, right? Because unless you do it in the right way, owning a business can be very lonely. And it's not something that we talk about, especially being men, and we're not supposed to talk about emotions and all these things. But in real terms, you go out and you do a business. So you come up with this idea. You start. You're so passionate about it. You're so driven about it. You really push forward. You talk to your wife and your kids and your friends. And after the third conversation, they're getting a bit bored of you. They don't have your energy and your excitement and your, yeah. So then you go and you start employing some staff. At one stage, I had 150 staff, right? And yeah, but you can't be friends with them. You can't share your deepest thoughts, you can't share your pains, you can't share any of these type of things. And it ends up, if you're not very careful, you're like this ship in the middle of the ocean by yourself. And everybody else is either looking to you to get something out of you or upset with you because of something you've done. Or yes. And it just becomes this really lonely environment. Have you found that?
Look, like I have no shame in talking about mental health issues. Like more men, every man needs to talk about it because I'm over 33 now. I'm 33 now, but the biggest killer in men, I think it's under 35, is suicide. And you just
Yeah,
touched
it's
on something
actually
there.
under 50.
Under 50, so under 50, right, is
25
suicide.
to
So
50.
you and you've just brought up a really important point that's bigger than any business profile, like it, so technique or growth. To be a successful entrepreneur, you have to have a specific mindset and you have to tolerate things that aren't normal. It will put you out, unless, like I say, crypto pump or some crazy SaaS business that just happens to fly. Like you're in a position where there's going to be a lot of grind on the road. I have struggled on my journey at times. I am not sat here now saying that everything has been a breeze. It's been cold, dark, wet, windy. Like I've had that. I've had those 15-hour days in the office where I didn't get done what I needed to get done or what I thought I could have done or stuck on X or Y, couldn't break through. Everyone has those frustrating days. And then I go downstairs to a partner and that partner hasn't seen me. So she's angry because I've been working all day and I haven't seen the little one until it's bedtime, literally almost crossing paths with her when it's bedtime. It's like these sacrifices that you make, people don't see. And
No,
what they
to that point, you feel, well, I always felt I was making the sacrifices for them because I was going to be successful for them. They were going to get the benefit of the money. They were going to get the, and people don't see that, no?
No, they don't see that. And there is a lot of truth in don't get so caught up in giving them a good life that you don't give them a good day. There is some truth in that. You have to make
I like
time, and
that,
I
yeah.
do. There is. But I can honestly say, like, everything that I do is basically for when I die. And I know that sounds nuts, right? Because I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon. But what I'm saying is, I don't want my daughters to be stuck in the positions that I was in. I want you to have bigger goals. If I make it like nine figures is my goal. So if I make it to nine figures, right, in my life, then your goal should be a billion. Because if I've made 0 to 100 million, I've done the hardest part for you. All you have to do now is stay in that lane and do that. And listen, and I
See,
know that's a
I come at it slightly differently, right? Because I'm not as worried about money. I was 19 years old and I got into a fight with my partner at this age, who later became my wife, who I later, we're divorced now. And I got into a fight full of testosterone and I ran out into the road and decided I was leaving. And I hitchhiked from there, I hitchhiked in South Africa up this motorway. And at the top of the motorway, yeah, as I was hitchhiking, I heard a noise behind me, turned around, and a Mercedes-Benz hit me at 70 miles an hour. I broke my leg in two places. My head went through the windscreen. My arm, you can see it's bent, went wrapped around the side mirror, and it threw me into the middle of the road. And these two amazing Samaritans actually stopped, and they pulled me so I was on the white line, and cars would just have been past me. And I was awake, and I was laying there, and I truly regretted everything I hadn't done. I didn't regret anything I'd done, but I regretted everything that I wouldn't get a chance to do. And for me, business owners need to live the life they love. They need to do everything that I'm currently learning guitar. I'm learning balance board. I'm always learning something because that's, I think, a superpower for business owners. But I've
Yeah.
also just been to Egypt and I've been free diving with dolphins. I've been to France where I spent a week going and I'm seeing the old ruins. I'm now in
Yeah, I don't know if you
Seattle. So it's just this idea, dude, you live the life you love, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you can tell since because we have spoke before. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm looking a bit more tan than usual. I've just come back from the islands myself. I spent 3 weeks in Spain with the family. and it was a complete depression, as in a decompression, sorry, like a complete decompression of work. Yes, I still had to work some mornings, but it was an hour here, an hour there. I was there present all the time. That was my spring uncoiling, if you liked.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way that it went. And you're 100% right. But I guess that's one thing that we maybe disagree on. And that's obviously fine. There's no right way of doing it. But like, I feel like I make enough time for the things that matter, like my little girls and stuff like that. But I also think I don't want to look back and think that I didn't take an opportunity that I should have done. So, and
that's my entire point. And let me just come in here. I'm 53 years old now, right? What I'm spending money on now is my wellness, making sure I'm as fit and as strong and as healthy as possible. I'm digging into all the biohacking things, the peptides, I do my morning routine is I get up and I do breath work, I do meditation, I do PT, I get in my ice bath and I set myself up with as much energy and as much power for the day as possible. I then give 100% to work when I'm working and 110% to work. And then that allows me, over the last 2.5 years, I've been to 25 different countries. Because, for sure, I'm going to leave my family when I need to leave my family. I've got a daughter, 21 years old. She's in university. But at the moment, I can't even see where the world's going to be in 3 years' time or 5 years' time. This is just changing so much at the moment. So I'm really now about getting everything out of it, taking, to your words, taking the opportunities. I don't want to miss an opportunity. I skydive, I free dive. I go swimming in the ice. I do a range of different things because that feeds my soul. That feeds my who I am. I'm not as money. I always know I'm always going to be able to make money. Right? That's it. I'm going to be able to make money. Yeah. And that with that confidence, with that belief in myself, what if I was to walk out the door today and get hit by a bus, what would I regret not doing? I can 100% say I would die happy.
Yeah. And do you know what? I can say the same thing. And I think, I don't know if this is the age gap that causes this. I don't know what you were like at 33. I'm not sure, Roy. But being 20 years younger, maybe I feel like my 30s is the time for me to make that. Yeah. Do it now so that when you're 40, you can retire if you want to, or just take a major step back. I'll never retire. I don't think entrepreneurs ever retire. They tried, they couldn't. Me going fishing every day is not going to happen.
That's always having 10 things to do, having loads of things to do, pushing the boundaries, learning new things. I spend a lot of my time learning. I love learning new things and understanding new things. And that's, we were talking about stress and understanding how to manage your stress. And one of the things that I actually teach business owners is breath work. I'm a Wim Hof instructor. I'm a Oxygen Advantage instructor. I'm a Pranayama instructor. Because when I first did breath work, I was 47 years old, and it blew my mind about what I just didn't know. So I went in and learned all the different techniques. And I've learned Dan Brulé. I've learned a whole range of different things, right? And it's that process of continuously learning that I think is something that drives us. And people always say ADHD and that they claim this is they're failing. I think it's a superpower. Right.
I'm telling you now, I'm not going to say that because that's private, but I definitely have ADHD to a severe level. Like you can't be like me and not have it. Like I can only focus on one thing at once. When I'm focused on one thing at once, it's the only thing I can think about. I can't do anything else. I don't even know I'm saying ADHD like I'm some sort of doctor and like I know, but what I can tell you is my brain is wired differently. I have friends, right, and family members mainly as well, who can very happily just trot around the earth in its natural bubble, and they're very happy. And do you know what? They've got peace, so I'm happy for them. But for me, like, my peace, I guess the way I would probably describe it is, and this is true, to be honest with you, there is always somebody chasing you. So the way that, like for me, for example, my PPC clients, there are all the other PPC agencies, they want my clients. Like, I have to make sure that I turn up and deliver every single day. I have to make sure that I do what I need to do every single day. whether that's operationally, whether that be AI implementation, whether that be service, whatever it might be, I have to make sure that's done. And that's just one example of it. I do agree with you. Whilst I was in Spain, I read The Four Agreements, which was a book that you put me onto and is something that I've been trying to practice. Yeah. I reset every single day because I always make a mistake at the moment. I can't do the four agreements, but every day in my book of laws is that I reset every day if I make a mistake of one of the agreements that I've made. Yeah. More importantly, I'm conscious when I make them after, obviously not right at that exact moment, but I'm conscious and it's slowly becoming part of my day-to-day life.
Changed,
and that points to your
my,
issue with
changed my life. Changed my life, that book.
Yeah, I swear. I bought it. It's so small. I'm looking at this book. I'm like, there can't be any wisdom in here. It's only, and I mean, it's a fair few pages, but it's just so small. And I was like, there can't be. And I was reading it. And listeners, if you're safe to do seriously, load up your phone, order The Four Agreements from Amazon. I forgot the author's name. Don Ruiz. Is it Don Ruiz?
Don Ruiz.
Don Ruiz. Order this book because I swear I am not a particularly big reader. I've read a lot of the big books, 48 Laws of Power, etc. I've read a lot of these big books, but Roy actually put me onto this book, The Four Agreements. And I don't care where you are in your journey. I don't care if you've got nothing and you're sat in a basement. This book will be something that changes the lens that you look through at life and the way that other people look at you. It's all your own dream. And everybody is different. Everybody has a different goal, different dream. Just because I don't want to read the book out, but just because somebody says something horrible to you doesn't mean you have to react in a certain manner. People are going to tell you fail all the time. Just relax. Who cares? You keep it pushing. That's it.
Yeah. There's a particular example that he gives in there about the young girl that's singing, right? And her mother's just having a really bad day. And she keeps on singing and she's happy and she keeps on singing. And the mother says, just shut up. You've got a terrible voice. And she never sings again. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's just the things that we do, this is about spreading the poison, that, you know, being positive and talking honestly. So the things we do in life make such a difference to everybody else, but they also make a difference to us, because now her daughter hasn't been singing for her for years and years, right? And all those pleasure moments she's missed. So, yeah, I do. It's just such a...
The biggest takeaway that I've got from it is that is obviously one of the stories, and that would give you the worst mum in the world award. But it's like, that's, you know, you can't say that to your children. I would never say that to mine. Maybe I was a bit strong with that. Like, if you're trying to learn, it's like you playing guitar now. If I watch you play guitar, you know you're not the guitarist for the Arctic Monkeys or whatever. You're not. Or Oasis. You're not. But you pass me that guitar. See what happens. I don't know how to play guitar. Who am I to sit here and say that you're rubbish at guitar when I can't play it myself?
Yeah.
And there's too many people going around there, especially with what we do, podcasts. I bet there's so many times people have said to you, Roy, your podcast's not going to work. Or Roy, your podcast's a waste of time, especially early days, whatever, like this. And the Four Agreements book will teach you exactly how to handle that. And that's where I'll finish on the book, because you need to buy it, because it's changed that one takeaway alone of the dream, the world, and my reality, that one takeaway alone was worth millions to me, probably, like in my life. Like, it's going to be worth millions to me, because I used to take it. Like, sometimes I would take it, sometimes I would take it bad. Now, I know it's your poison, not mine. You ain't bringing it into me. Yeah. So keep it there. And that's the way that I do it. So I know it's a tangent, but to listeners still here, like, seriously, if you haven't read that book, it will blow your mind. I did not believe it either. And it did.
I read a lot. I've got hundreds and hundreds of books. I listen to audio, and I'll be sharing some stories on these as I go forward, because I think, there's so many ways that we can better ourselves. Yeah. And we have to start with a mental piece. We have to be peaceful. Where's your peace? We don't necessarily have to be happy all the time, because happy is a fleeting thing. But peace, if you can be peaceful every day, that's just so much more powerful.
So we're gonna start. I was just gonna say, if something can go up, it can come down. Yeah. So happiness, for example, feeling in a good mood, a bad mood, these things can change. But if your book of laws are written properly and you're at that level and you find peace with where you're at, you're never unstable. I don't know if this is the right way to describe it, but you're completely zen. It's and not in a weird way. I don't want the audience to think it, because I'm not like into, I don't do yoga and like meditate for 6 hours a day. Like I don't do it. I don't do that. It works. You probably should. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying here is I don't do that. And it was special. It really was. Like it was something that you definitely need to pick up and go with. But
and that's the thing, what you're doing with people, we spoke a little bit about it, what I do with people. We're in essence, business coaches as well, right? You're having to say to people, do this and this. That's where I get my so much joy and happiness is actually helping people do this. And
my YouTube channel is literally designed to give information away for free. I'm working with a YouTube coach because it is an algorithmic metric game. Like it is an algorithm at the end of the day, as I'm within itself. So it's small. I would appreciate if any audience is still here, go subscribe, Michael Elliott AI. But on that channel, I give away loads of info. I do live builds of N8N flows to showcase things to you. I'll go through the basics of N8N from zero to like functional, like being able to use it. But then I also tell you about dark times in business of what I've had. And I also then tell you about experiences of me growing businesses and show you real examples. And I explain the pitfalls of having money and things that happen, the journey to success. I run through all of these things. And like I've never earned a penny from going on one of these podcasts. Obviously it's brand awareness, but going on podcasts, doing this, I'm just, if there are 100 people listening to this, I want them to believe in themselves that they can do it, because I needed me back then when I wanted to take the leap. I needed this, me right now. What I'm saying to you now is you can do it. You can do it, and you can, and anybody can do it. It doesn't matter who you are. Anybody can do it, as long as you've got a plan and you're willing to stay in the heat for long enough. When times get hard, you will make a success. What success look like? Looks like, are you going to be Jeff Bezos? Probably not. Maybe, but probably not. But are you going to change your whole family dynamic and change the lives of you, for you and other people around you? Absolutely. And that is key. There's nothing wrong with having a lifestyle business that pays you the same as what a job does, but you only have to work 2 hours a day. There's nothing wrong with that.
100%. And I think that's a really good place to wrap it up. That was very eloquently said. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm going to be putting all your details below on the post, how people can get hold of you. And go and listen. Go listen to you more on the YouTube. That's awesome. Thank you very much for your time, man.
Thank you. Cheers, Roy.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power. Our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.